All right, so let's get started. So welcome, everybody. This is the Tuesday keynote, in case you're wondering. Traditionally, Tuesday is the keynote time, and we've got the 8:30 slot, so I'm claiming it. We're going to talk today about mobile device management with Configuration Manager 2012 and Windows Intune. That's a very long topic, but basically what we're going to cover is all of the magic that Brad was showing yesterday on how to connect up Configuration Manager to the Windows Intune service. My name's Craig Morris. I'm a Senior Program Manager with the Configuration Manager Windows Intune group.
And my name is Brett Flegg. I'm a developer on the same group.
So Brett does do all the work, in case you were wondering. So this session here is the first of kind of a series of three sessions. This one's going to talk about the actual infrastructure setup and how we actually connect up Configuration Manager to Windows Intune service. We have a second one at, apart from my typing mistake, 10:15. It's going to cover the settings and enrollment, so how to enroll all these mobile devices. And then we have a third one at 12 o'clock, which is on the application management. So that'll tie in the whole mobile device management with these two products. So make sure you attend all three, and you'll get a full overview of the short demonstration that, that Brad's team put together yesterday.
Hope you had your coffee, because the part we're going to do right now is actually going through all the setup pieces, and the payoff's going to come later later on the day as we start seeing all the devices starting to enroll and getting software distribution going. So, drink up the coffee and stick with us through this session.
All right. So what are we going to cover today? So for this session, we're going to cover just kind of a general intro to mobile device management. Then we'll move on to kind of getting started and kind of the things you need to do above and beyond actually setting up connecting Configuration Manager to Windows Intune. We'll talk about Active Directory, signing on to the Windows Intune service. And the last kind of sections we'll cover will be actually be the piece that actually is connecting Configuration Manager to Intune. And then we'll talk a little bit about what do you need to do if you're setting up a lab versus a production environment and some of the changes you might want to have in that space rather than when you set up a production environment. Okay, so we've got to, just stepping back a bit, just to kind of cover and set the groundwork for kind of this whole endeavor that we've been on. So we've been working in 2012 for a long time around applications and making sure users can have the applications and data wherever they go. And this is just a continuation of that story, right? We said right at the beginning when we started building 2012, a long time ago, that we wanted to make sure that the users had the applications and data they needed anywhere on any device. And this is kind of continuing that story with the release of SP1. So we want to empower the user to get those applications, to get that data. We want to have a unified management infrastructure. So the administrator, whether they're administering mobile devices or PCs or Macs or Linux machines, they have a common interface. They don't necessarily need to learn about those particular platforms themselves. It's just a simple experience for all of those devices. And then we want to make sure we have a common identity. I mean, Configuration Manager, a lot of other products are all centered around Active Directory. We want to make sure that we have a single sign-on experience. The user doesn't have to think, well, I'm connecting to something that's in the cloud, or I'm connecting to something that's on-premise. Which account do I need to use? Which password do I need to use? It's all about providing that seamless experience to our administrators and to the users. So when we break that up, it's about two things. First of all, we actually embrace the user. I mean, a lot of our administrators, didn't necessarily like our users. We've been trying to encourage people to embrace the users, give our users a bit of a hug. So we want to make sure that we're empowering those users to get what they need, right? We want to make sure that they can choose whatever device they want. It's the device that makes sense to them, but still enable them to work with their applications and work with their company data on those devices. Application self-service. So back before 2012, there was a lot of work that administrators had to do around making sure that each user had the applications they needed. They'd get a call from the help desk saying this particular user needed this particular application. Now, with a self-service environment, the administrator can just make that available to them, and the user can choose whether they want those applications or not. When we integrated mobile device management in SP1, we wanted to continue that story, making sure that the user could choose which applications they wanted and where they wanted them, whether they wanted them from a public store or they wanted those line of business applications that are coming down through the infrastructure. The administrator still wants to have some degree of management, but it needs to be unobtrusive to the end user. So we need to know about those devices. We need to know what applications are running on those devices that we've already provided to that user, but it needs to be unobtrusive to the end user. And like I said, unified managed infrastructure. So we want to make sure that, you know, it's a single management interface. It doesn't matter what type of device you're managing. The single application, you can deploy a single app. You can install it on a mobile device, a PC, a Mac. The administrator, whether they're, you know, frontline deployment, end user deployment administrators. Okay, interesting. Anyway, they can just deploy a single app and it just gets to the user in the right format for that particular device. It's also about improving IT efficiency. You know, there's been a lot of, I guess, hair pulling out and screams of trying to connect up Configuration Manager in the past with an internet-based solution. You know, setting up internet client-based management, setting up PKI infrastructures. So we looked at how we could make that easier to the administrator and to the organization. And we already had a world-class service in Windows Intune, and we're like, maybe we should just connect those two up. Makes simple sense. All right, so what does this actually look like? So you probably saw this slide in the overview that Mayan and Mark did yesterday. So what this all looks like is the administrator has one administrative console. Once you've gone through the setup and configuration process, you may have had to go on into the Intune account portal to set up some settings. But once that's done, the administrator is still going to live in your Configuration Manager admin console. He's going to do all the work that he does on a day-to-day basis in that console. But he's actually going to be managing two environments. He's going to be using his on-prem environment to manage his PCs. He's going to be using a cloud infrastructure to manage those mobile devices. So he's going to be able to manage all of his Windows PCs up to Windows 8, Android, Mac OS, RT, Windows Phone 8, iOS, and Android. So pretty much everything's available at the moment.
Yep. The great piece about this is that, as Craig was mentioning, and we mentioned Brad mentioned in the keynote yesterday, is that we basically are managing devices where they're native. So you've got all of your mobile devices out on the internet. We can manage those through the Windows Intune service, and you don't have to worry about setting up a PKI infrastructure and deploying certs to the devices. You let us handle that for you as Microsoft. So we handle getting setting up the PKI infrastructure, getting the certificate out to the device, and enrolling it, and getting it securely managed by your company. And just let you use the single console to manage everything that you need.
All right, so what are the integration points? So Windows Intune is actually providing their cloud-based infrastructure. So Intune is deployed in the Microsoft data centers. It has all of those services that you would normally need to manage a mobile device force. The user and their devices connect up to that service, and then we have a back channel from that service back to your on-prem configuration manager environment. Platforms we support, so I want to reiterate this again. So with this particular configuration, we support Windows RT, Windows Phone 8, iOS 5 and above, Android 2.1. As far as the feature set, so over-the-air device enrollment, so no longer do you have to do your active sync enrollment of those devices. It's completely over-the-air. You can do available user targeting of applications. So same as 2012 for a PC, the end user is going to get an experience where they go to a catalog or a self-service portal. They're going to be able to see all of the applications that have been made available to them by the administrator. User and device settings management, so continuing on with our desired configuration management, you can set up those settings, similar specific settings for those mobile devices. Device inventory, so you can see what's actually connecting to your environment. And one of the things with this is we talked about this is doing mobile device management, and there's been talking to folk this week, there's a question about do you also need Exchange Active Sync. Ideally, you do want Exchange Active Sync as well as this configuration, as well as our native MDM management. The reason being is Exchange Active Sync actually provides you a way of discovering which devices are actually connecting to your environment. So you can see types of devices that are connecting and which ones you actually want to manage, and then you can do the native enrollment on top of that and get that additional management above and beyond what you would normally get with EAS. So they are actually complementary. They also provide multiple channels to do various functions such as wipe. And we also do remote device retirement. I think the ones on the right-hand side, most of those will be covered in the following two sessions today. So the first one at 10:15, we'll talk about inventory, retirement, wipe, settings management. The one at 12 will cover enrollment. And then the application management will cover, obviously, user-targeted applications. Click. All right, let's get started. So, in order to set up this environment, so we're assuming at this point you've already deployed SP1, Configuration Manager, in your environment. What do you need to do then to actually start doing mobile device management with that product? Well, first of all, you need a Windows Intune subscription. You can get this either through windowsintune.com and sign up for a license that way, or you can purchase it through your volume license agreement, and you can contact your Microsoft people and get that information. Next thing you'll want to do is set up your public DNS details to do the enrollment redirection. So when the device enrolls, it needs to be redirected to actually connect up to our environment. You'll also want to verify that the users have public domain UPNs, and we'll kind of talk a little bit more about this. This is an active doing user AD user discovery, and how do we actually get the users to synchronize. Next, you want to set up AD federated services. This allows us to do single sign-on, so the user doesn't need to worry about two passwords, one for their cloud-based AD environment and another one for their on-prem AD environment. Then you want to configure AD directory synchronization. This will synchronize your on-prem AD environment into the cloud and allow Windows Intune to also know about your users so that when they enroll, we can actually verify them and allow them to enroll. Reset user password. So if you're not using ADFS for single sign-on, the user will have to have two passwords, and you will have to create a password in the Windows Intune account portal. You will have to manage them on a regular basis. What we expect most customers to do is they'll run that for about 2 weeks, get tired of managing users' passwords, and enable ADFS. And then lastly, we'll actually configure the configuration management Windows Intune subscription object that's in the admin console, as well as the connector, which will connect to the service. Okay, getting a subscription. So we talked about the two ways of getting that subscription. This is what it'll look like once you've got an account. You'll be able to log on. This will be your admin tenant account. So this will be the one that will actually have permissions to that Intune account that you've created. This is what the UI look like. We'll actually dive into this and kind of poke around and show you some of the AD configuration that you'll set up within the account portal itself. This is what it looks like. This is what your profile will look like. It'll have all that information. You may want to use not a personal account from your company. You may want to actually set one up specifically for your company, so in case that person leaves, for example, and you don't have access, you forget the password, you might think of this kind of like a service account that you may want to actually generate. Okay, so this is basically just setting up that subscription. So once that's set up, you can now start thinking about the things that you'll need to set up in AD to make sure that your users are able to enroll. First thing you want to do is make sure you have a public domain. Okay, by default, when you set up the Windows Intune subscription, you'll get an onmicrosoft.com account. What you want to do is also have a public domain. So Microsoft.com would be our one, for example. So you want to set up a company, your own company one. In this case, I've given you an example, company1.com. All of your users will have that, and that will be their logon when they actually connect to the service. Okay, it needs to be verified. So it needs to be something that you can verify with a, you know, a VeriSign or a GoDaddy or...
Yeah. Basically, for those of you who set up Office 365, I'll step back for a sec. The good news is a lot of the things that we're going to be covering in the next couple of slides are things that you only have to do once in your company, and they apply both to Windows Intune and to Office 365. So once you've actually set up a verified domain, once you've synced users, and once you've set up Active Directory, those users can be used by either Windows Intune or by Office 365 to do your management. It's the power of the Azure Active Directory work that Brad was talking about yesterday. Basically, we provide a single source in the cloud for your identity that links up. And whether you set that up through Windows Intune or through Office 65, they're made available to both. So in this particular case, we have to verify that you, in fact, own the domain, in this case, contoso.com. So if you've set that up for Office 365 or through Intune, what you'll see is you basically have to go modify the DNS entry for your account that proves that you actually have ownership over it. And we detect that automatically, and then you can actually start using that account for your domain names.
Yeah, so the way to think about it is you're setting up a connection between your AD on-prem environment and your cloud-based AD environment, and then essentially Windows Intune or Office 365 are creating a subscription. So think of it in a SQL sense. You've set up the publication to manage those two AD environments, and then Intune and Office 365 are essentially doing a subscription to that information. The last point here is to make sure that you are doing a redirection, creating a CNAME for enterprise enrollment for these mobile devices, and it's pointing back to manage.microsoft.com. Do you want to?
Yeah, the main reason for that is when a mobile device tries to enroll, we don't know anything necessarily about your company. So if you set up the CNAME record, this works very much like the Office 365 auto-enroll feature as well, where you have autoenroll.yourcompany.com redirecting to Office 365. And once you set up that redirection, it'll enable all of the mobile devices to automatically find the Windows Intune service.
Okay, verifying user details and performing AD user discovery. So everybody knows how to do AD user discovery in Configuration Manager. But what we've got here, and we'll actually show this in the demonstration, is on the right-hand side, we have the user principal name. And you can have multiple user principal names, but this is the attribute that we use for the user that we synchronize up what's in Configuration Manager versus what's in the Windows Intune database in the cloud. So this is the joining of those two objects. And this is how we make sure that when the user connects, they are a verified user, they have permission to enroll a device. We've got some links on the side here on how you can go about verifying that you have the appropriate UPN set up, and also some information on if you need to go and change your UPNs, how to go about doing that as well. We won't go into those now, but I wanted to make sure that you guys had a bunch of information on how to go through this process. All we're trying to do is we have two users. We want to make sure that they're the same user, so when we map them up, they're the same. Okay. Then you'll perform AD user discovery. AD user discovery will then make sure that the Configuration Manager database then has that same user in the Configuration Manager, and it has the UPN for that user as well. Okay, so once that's done, and you can verify in Configuration Manager, we have a blog, and the blog actually tells you how to run a query that'll actually verify the user's UPN. Once that's done, the next thing you want to do is go and log on to your account portal in Windows Intune and actually set up or reconnect ADFS. So if you've already got ADFS running for Office 365, this is already done. You just need to go in here and verify. Got a couple of steps here. First of all, how to prepare for single sign-on. Second of all, how to actually deploy ADFS 2.0. Okay. All this basically means is the user that can use their domain credentials to log on when they're using these mobile devices over the internet. It does require some setup on-prem to make sure that you've got some servers set up that allow the user to actually connect and use proxy servers in your DNS. But what it means is that we don't actually pass the password for your AD user. We actually get a token. So the user on that device will actually connect to your on-prem environment, verify that they have given the domain credentials. We get then handed back a token, and then the token is used when you're connecting to the Windows Intune service. Yep. You want to add something?
No, exactly. As Craig mentioned, the real benefit of this is that you're in control of all of the users and the users' passwords and other information inside of your own environment. And really what we're doing is just federating into Windows Intune so that we get a claim from your ADFS server into Azure Active Directory and Windows Intune so that we can authenticate that way. It makes it a lot more secure and lets you folks keep control of your own information.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing is obviously then the user doesn't have to worry about two passwords. As I said, it's not required, but we strongly recommend it. You'll get tired of managing your user's passwords if you're not using ADFS. Next thing you want to do is essentially set up that subscription. If you already set up AD directory synchronization for Office 365 or other features, you don't need to go through the whole setup process. We do have a link there. It tells you about Learn More. It's like a 5 or 6 step process to fully deploy ADFS. To set up DirSync. There's only 1 or 2 steps if you've already set up DirSync for another service to set it up for Windows Intune. Essentially, it's creating that subscription. That just allows us to then get that user attribute from AD in the cloud down to Intune, so we actually can then map up the user to the Configuration Manager users in their database as well. And again, we've got some links there on how to go through the process of setting up DirSync to help you out there as well. Okay, so a couple of points on DirSync. So DirSync, when you add a user, change a user, etc., it synchronizes every 3 hours from your on-prem to the cloud-based AD. Okay, you can actually force it. You probably don't want to do that on a regular basis. It does actually do a forced synchronization when you configure that environment for the first time. And as we talked about, hopefully we've talked about it to death at this point, that setting up ADFS is a good thing. It's going to make your lives a lot easier. If you don't, you're going to have to manage 2 passwords. I think we've beaten that one to death.
I think so.
All right. All right. So, Brett.
Okay.
Why don't we actually see what this looks like?
So what I've got here, I'm going to walk you through actually showing you the Windows Intune account portal and then talk about how we've actually set things up here today. So I've already actually signed up for my subscription and I've got my administrative account. I can then go to account.manage.microsoft.com and log in with my admin credentials. So at this point, I'm taken to the Windows Intune account portal. Now, what you're going to do here, we'll walk through a couple of things that Craig was talking about. The first thing we mentioned was setting up a verified domain. So if I click on the Domains tab, notice that right now the only domain that I've got assigned to me is the one that I set up, Contoso-UP2. I think it's supposed to be Contoso-UP2. But I've set up the Contoso-UP2 account when I originally signed up. Now, every time when you sign up for an account, you actually are given an account with the on Microsoft.com prefix. And you can have users with, so I could be admin at contoso-soup2.onmicrosoft.com. Obviously, I don't want to necessarily have all of my users logging in with an account like that. So I can simply go to the add domain feature here and set up contoso.com.
And you can set up multiple domains. So if your company has multiple public domains and you're going to have users, that the UPN is one of those multiple domains, you can go and add as many as you need to make sure that you have the appropriate users when they synchronize.
So once I've done this, I simply need to actually follow the directions on the screen. What they're asking me to do is go ahead and create a TXT record inside of DNS. Now, what will happen is the Microsoft Online Services will be scanning DNS to get that information. It'll look and verify that I've actually set up this, and by setting up this, we'll actually know that you, in fact, own the contoso.com domain. Once I've gone through that process, we can actually, at that point, start importing users with the contoso.com address. And again, as we mentioned before, once you've set this up for Office 365 or for Windows Intune, the domain can be shared between the two of them. We're using the same Azure Active Directory services. So,
but given this is a demo environment.
Given this is a demo environment, I do not actually own contoso.com. So from everything that we're going to do on from now on, you're going to see that I will actually be using that contoso-up2.onmicrosoft.com account. So the next thing we talked about was setting up Active Directory synchronization. So I've actually gone ahead in the Users tab here and activated it already. What we can do is go to Learn More, and inside of our documentation, it tells you to go ahead and download the Microsoft Synchronization Configuration Tool and install it in your environment. It can really run on any server in your environment that has internet access and is not actually a domain controller. So once you've actually downloaded and installed that, you actually run through this wizard, in which case it's going to ask you for an account to read your Active Directory information and the admin account that you used when you set up Windows Intune. Once you do that, we install as a service in the background, and as Craig was mentioning, every 3 hours we go ahead and do a user sync up into Azure Active Directory. And again, sorry, I keep repeating this, but once you've done this for if you've done this for Office 365, you don't need to redo this for Windows Intune. It's a single synchronization for both.
The other thing is that account's not used then to do that synchronization later. That's actually using the service account to do that synchronization. So it's only used to do that initial setup, so you don't need to worry about that exposure.
So I've gone ahead and done that piece already, and you see that all of the users actually get synchronized into my account portal right here. So the only other thing we'll call out that we can actually go ahead also in here and set up ADFS. I won't do that again today. So the one thing that I will need to be able to do in order to use a user is reset their password. Because when we sync them initially, the users don't have a password in Azure Active Directory. So what I can actually go ahead is take Craig Morris's account here, reset his password, and it'll ask me actually to go ahead and set an email address where we'll send the temporary password to. So I can send that to any account, at which point that gets emailed to him, and he can log on to the Windows Intune account portal himself and actually set that password to a permanent value that he'll use from then on. Now, again, the other reason why to use ADFS where this step isn't necessary.
Perfect. All right,
Craig, switch back.
Okay, so that's kind of setting up the environment, setting up Active Directory both on-prem and off-prem, and making sure that those users are synchronized, you've got that synchronization, so as you make changes onto your on-prem AD environment, that's being replicated up to Azure Active Directory, and then also is being synchronized back to Windows Intune. At this point, what we've done is we've made sure that when you make a change on-prem to a user, it's reflected also in the service as well, in the cloud. So now we'll actually get into the part that I find most interesting, because it's the part we worked on, which is actually setting up the Configuration Manager objects themselves. So there's two objects you need to create. We have a Windows Intune subscription object that gets created in Configuration Manager. This manages, you know, which user collection, for example, you allow users to enroll mobile devices. So maybe you've got your all users group that has 100,000 users in it, but you only want 10,000 of those or 5,000 of those to actually have the capability to enroll mobile devices. You'll define that in a user collection. Those are the users that will be able to enroll mobile devices. Nobody else will. You'll also set up things like which mobile platforms you want to support. This is where Exchange ActiveSync comes into play. You can actually find out which device types, which platforms your users are actually using in your environment, so you can decide which platforms you want to enable to enroll. If you don't enable them, they can't enroll those devices even if they have them. And then it also, the other thing it does in the background is it connects up to the Windows Intune service and gets a certificate that allows us to then, when we create the Windows Intune connector, that's the connection between your on-prem Configuration Manager environment to the Windows Intune service itself. So we get that in the background, then we just deploy it as another site role, and it all works. The Windows Intune connector, as I said, it's a site role. Basically what it does is it sends up policy for your applications, for policy management, for settings management. It also retrieves those status and state messages back and inventory information back from the users. The way I like to think of it is essentially that connector is sending that information up to the Windows Intune service. The way I like to think about the Windows Intune service at this point is it's kind of operating like a device management point. It's storing all of those local policies. It's communicating with the users and the devices. And it's retrieving all that information and sending it back down to the Configuration Manager environment. Okay, so it's not this big, scary thing that's in the cloud. You don't know what it's doing. I like to just think of it as a DMP, and that helps me understand what it's doing. All right, platform support. So for each platform, there's a different way we necessarily need to set up certificates and a different reason why we need to set up these certificates. For Windows Phone 8, we actually need to purchase a code signing certificate from Symantec that allows us then to install the self-service portal application that we'll deploy to the Windows Phone. And you'll actually be able to do that and then the sideloading apps also must be co-signed as well. So if you're loading line of business applications to those devices, you'll need that as well. The session at 12 o'clock will probably go into this a little bit more deeper about the application management. For Windows RT, you do need a sideloading keys that allows you to deploy those line of business applications. But you don't actually need a certificate to actually enroll the device. And hopefully if we have enough time and we get the connector set up within the allocated time this morning, we'll show you how to enroll an RT device. For iOS, you do need an Apple Push Notification Service certificate. This allows us to then connect to Apple and wake up the device and tell it needs to go do something. And we actually have the steps here on how to do that. And we also have the experience within the Configuration Manager console itself. We'll go through that as well on how to actually get that certificate as well. And then for Android, we're not actually doing native MDM management for Android, so there's not a lot of requirements for that, but we do actually support those devices. Yeah.
Now, this is the one place that you're going to run through in the Configuration Manager console where you see a large difference between each of the devices, and that's because of the native capabilities on each of the different platforms that we support. But the good news is that once you've gone through this piece of it, we actually make devices look similar from then on. When you're managing settings, when you're managing applications, you'll see in the future sessions later today, you don't really need to be too concerned about whether it's an iOS device, a Windows phone, or an Android device.
Yep. And you don't have to set these all up at the beginning, right? So maybe you only want to enable for RT or an iOS, and you'll do your Windows phone later while you're waiting for that certificate. So you can go through and set those various platforms up as you need to. All right. Brett, take it away.
Perfect. So I'm going to switch back to my site server here. Sorry, you'll have to forgive me for a second while it loads. Now, I will call out a couple of things that I've done on this side. Of course, these would have been things that you would have done already, typically. I've already set up, I've gone in, and I've enabled Active Directory user discovery inside of my system. And that way, I actually have all of the user objects in Active Directory inside of Configuration Manager. I've also gone ahead and pre-created a collection. I've got a collection of users. Sorry.
all user-centric.
Yeah. I've got my Intune users collection, which for now I only have 5 users in my environment that I would like to actually enable to use the Windows Intune subscription. And you'll see me actually leverage those 2 objects as I go through the next step, which is going to the Administrative tab. Under Hierarchy Configuration, I click Windows Intune Subscription.
You see we haven't created one already, so we actually are going to go through this process. There's no smoke and mirrors here.
Yep. So it talks about here, to start with, that it's necessary to go ahead and sign up for a Windows Intune account, which I've already done, and you've seen me do in the step before. The next thing that I have to do is actually provide my admin credentials that will enable us to provision a certificate onto the Configuration Manager site server that will be then used for all future communication with the system. So I'm going to go ahead and hit sign in. And you'll see the logon screen that I was using before.
So this will be that tenant admin account again that he's logging on with.
And I'll hit sign in. Now, while this is going on, what we're actually doing is from this machine, we're actually authenticating with the credentials and talking to the WinTune service and provisioning a certificate that's going to be used from now on. So the credentials aren't saved on this machine. I've provisioned a cert which will be used for all future communication.
Before he just clicks this little button here that seems innocuous. So when you set up your Windows Intune subscription, it also allows you to go into the admin console on Windows Intune, and there's an option to say use Windows Intune as your management authority for your mobile devices. If you are going to use Configuration Manager to manage these devices, do not click that button. When you're setting up this environment, if you're going to use Configuration Manager, the easiest thing to do is do not go into the Intune admin console at all. You can go into the account portal, which is where you're going to set up those users and set up DirSync and ADFS. But don't go into the admin console for Windows Intune. Instead, click this button here.
And we've clicked it. So as I go through the wizard, I'm first asked for the set of users that I'd like to enable for the Windows Intune subscription. Again, you can add and remove users from this at a later point. I'm starting with just a collection of 5 users, but you can add more users as time goes on. I'm going to ask for my company name.
So like what we have with Configuration Manager with the application portal, what he's doing here is actually setting up the experience the user's going to have when they go into the self-service portal. They're going to see the company name that you have rather than Microsoft. You're going to be able to change the color of the portal in case you don't like blue for some reason.
And I don't, so I'm going to go switch to my obligatory pink for my...
Excellent.
Yes. The last thing that you're asked to do here is provide a site code. Now, the connector itself actually lives at the CAS. But what it does is the clients themselves actually get assigned to a site in your hierarchy. Or in this particular case, since I'm only using a single site, a single primary site, I can just select the current site that I'm on.
So you don't have to deploy a CAS to do this. But if you do have a CAS, this is where the connector lives.
So at this point, we have the option of choosing which platforms we'd like to enable. And again, as Craig mentioned, we don't have to set these all up now. I'm actually going to go through in this particular case and set them all up. But you have the option of either adding or removing platforms at a later point as well. So, the first platform up is Windows RT. In order to enable Windows RT, there are two things effectively that you need. The first, we do automate the process of, let's see, to start with on the code signing standpoint, and they'll talk a lot about this a lot more when they actually go through the application section later on today. But we actually can choose and can automatically distribute out a code signing cert that you've used for your in-house applications. Alternatively, you can also get a certificate from a trusted root authority on your clients. But in this particular case, I'm using self-signed apps, so I'm going to actually navigate and find the certificate that I've used to sign my applications.
This is only if you're deploying line of business applications. If you're going to enable, you know, RT and you're only going to be using external public stores, you don't actually need to necessarily set this up.
Exactly. And the second thing, again, also if you're going to be sideloading applications, you need to be able to specify sideloading keys. I've actually already set one up, so I don't need to do that necessarily this time around. So next up is Windows Phone 8. In order to enable Windows Phone 8, we're going to need that code signing certificate that you got from Symantec, and also selecting the Windows Intune company portal application that I've also pre-created in the system. So I'm going to browse. I've got my Windows Phone 8 certificate. I'm asked for the password.
Yeah, so if you're getting the certificate and you're asked somebody else in your company to get the certificate, make sure you get the password when they hand back the certificate to you. Otherwise, you'll waste an extra couple of days trying to find the person and getting that password again. Don't ask me how I know that.
So I now select the company portal application, which I've downloaded from the service.
Which is just an app.
Just an app. Finally, then, for iOS, I'm asked to provide the APNS certificate. Now, I'll actually walk through it afterwards. I've already gone and pre-requested the certificate from Apple and had it signed. I'll walk through the steps for that in a second. But for now, all I have to do is select the PEM file that I received back and hit next.
Now we get the Are You Really Sure screen to make sure that you've set up everything correctly. And this is going to go ahead and create that object. The reason we split up the creation of this subscription object from the connector object is there may be a time when you want to move that connector object from one server to another for whatever reason, disaster recovery, or you're just replacing it with additional hardware. We didn't want you to have to go through this process and set this up again. So once you've set this up once in your hierarchy, you're done. You can move that connector site role wherever you need to move it based on issues that you may be seeing in your environment. And you don't have to worry about going through all this process again. And as you'll see, the connector is very simple to set up.
Yes.
We should talk some more. You need some more memory for your demo box.
I do. I'm sorry about that. There we go. So at this point, we've gone and provisioned that certificate, and we're all set. Except the piece critical not to forget is to actually go ahead and set up the Windows Intune connector role. Now, as Craig was mentioning, we separate this out so that you have the ability to move it at any later date. This role needs outbound internet connectivity. We never actually reach from the service into the Windows Intune connector role. It's always from your box out to the internet. But because of that, we've also ensured that you can set it up on a separate machine from your CAS. So I'm going to go to my, but in this particular case, as always, I have a single machine, so I'm going to go ahead and set it up from here. Notice, by the way, when I set up that Intune subscription, I do have a new site role that appears in the system called manage.microsoft.com. That's going to appear as a distribution point in the system and represents basically the Windows Intune content mechanism that we use to distribute to devices. For now,
we also did another change while you're setting up the site role, which you may want to point out, which is the proxy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and add a site role. Now, again, because this requires outbound internet connectivity, what we've done is actually allowed you to define the proxy settings directly inside of the wizard. Now, this will apply to any of the other configuration manager roles that require internet connectivity as well.
Yeah.
So this change went into SP1, and it'll also make it a little bit easier to set up your Windows Update synchronization point and other
yeah,
roles.
So if you're hosting multiple roles on here, you know, before SP1, you had to set up that proxy server for each one of those roles. Now you just have to set it up once for that server, and you don't have to worry about setting it up for each individual role. So it's kind of a tangent to what we're actually talking about today, but it's worthwhile pointing out that there's a change from RTM to SP1.
Now, in the environment I'm not using, in the environment I'm using today, I'm not actually using a proxy server.
So we are completely secure.
We are completely secure. I'm going to select the Windows Intune connector role. And notice there actually aren't any configuration settings for the Intune connector role itself. We've actually gone ahead and set everything up as part of the subscription object. So I hit complete there.
Yeah.
So at that point, the site system is going to go ahead and kick off and start installing the connector role. The other piece that I promised to show you was setting up the Apple APNS certificate. The way that works is back on the Windows Intune subscription node, I have my Windows Intune subscription object. I can actually click here and call create APNS certificate request. Now, what we do here is we generate the certificate request on the Windows Intune service, allow you to download it onto your local machine using this wizard. At that point, you go ahead and take the certificate request, give that to Apple using your Apple account, and get back a PEM file, which then you saw me actually put in the Windows Intune subscription wizard. We use that, once we get that certificate, we can go ahead and use that to actually notify the iOS devices to connect to the Windows Intune service and enable management.
Which we've already done, so we don't
need
to
do. Which we've already done, so I'm not going to do. And again, just as Craig was pointing out before, I can actually go into properties of the Windows Intune subscription object and at a later date either enable or disable any of the platforms that I've got exposed here. Back over to you, Craig.
Back over to me. All right, so we've talked a lot about device enrollment and what you need to do for the various devices. We've also given you some links here on all of the steps you'll need to go through to actually do those direct management of those various device platforms. So I think we've covered that to death, but I wanted to make sure that as you download this presentation, you'll have links here that will help you set this up as well. Setting up a lab. So we've kind of walked you through what you need to do to set up a production environment, and with some caveats on our demo on how to set things up. If you're setting up a lab, you want to do a proof of concept type environment. Obviously, you can sign up to a Windows Intune trial account. That's for 30 days. You do have to set up AD desync. So you can set up your lab environment, create your own test AD environment, connect that up to Azure Active Directory, do that desync synchronization of those users. As we said, when you first create a Windows Intune account, you're going to get an onmicrosoft.com. So you need to remember what that UPN is for those users that are going to be created. You'll then go to your test environment, and for that domain, you can either do it on an individual user basis, or you can actually do it at the root level and set the default UPN for all of your users in the domain to this onmicrosoft.com UPN. That makes sure that your UPN on-prem and your UPN in Azure Active Directory are the same. The other thing you can do is instead of creating a CNAME in the... So at this point, you don't need a public DNS record. You don't need to create your CNAME DNS record. You can actually, when you enroll the device, specify the server name that you will actually be connecting to. And I think you do that when you...
You'll actually see that in a minute when I go ahead and enroll my Windows RT device.
Yep. And so the other thing is, with RT and iOS, you don't need certificates to actually do application management for those platforms. So there's no reason why you can't do a proof of concept. You don't need to go to Symantec and get a certificate. You can just start creating applications that are what we call deep links or web links to applications that are in those public stores, and you can actually start experiencing that today.
As I say, we know a lot of you are in your process of rolling out System Center Configuration Manager 2012 or 2012 SP1, and we don't want you to necessarily have to wait until you get that set up in your production environment to go ahead and try the Windows Intune subscription. So in your lab environment, I'll point out a couple of tricks here that you can do to actually set that up today.
And I think that's just about the cue for you to go do that.
I think it is.
And we'll talk a little bit about troubleshooting. We'll talk about some of the logs you'll want to look at as well when you're setting up this environment.
I think it's catching you on one of your words, Craig. I don't know which one, but...
Probably that accent thing.
It must be. So the first thing, right, you can actually do this today is go ahead to windowsintune.com, and if my internet connection is up and running and doing what it's supposed to do, we actually get redirected.
Which it doesn't look like it is.
Which it doesn't look like it is. That is going to make the rest of this demo very
difficult. So the demo we're doing now is about troubleshooting. This would be one of those troubleshooting steps. Make sure you have a connection.
Yes. Oh, boy. Well, you can just imagine right here, I'm actually going to windowsintune.com. Thank you. And at that point, I can actually go ahead. There's an easy button you can click on that lets you go ahead and set up a trial account, and you can set that up, and you get given an on Microsoft.com domain. You'll get an email address that, or an email that comes to you that says you can actually go ahead and then go through the Windows Intune account portal like you saw me do before.
And you can upgrade that trial to a production one if you want to as well. So you may not want to if you're going from a lab environment to production, but it also is a capability you have available to you as well.
So
why don't we troubleshoot?
Let's start troubleshooting. Actually, before I get to that, the other piece that Craig was talking about was a little trick. Now, again, I need to stress that this is something that you would do in your test environment, not something in your production environment. In production environment, strongly suggest you get a verified domain and run things that way. But I can actually go to domains and trusts, if I can spell it right.
You need a command prompt, don't you?
I do.
Okay.
And I can actually go ahead here and say properties. And see what I've done here is actually added my Contoso UP2.onMicrosoft account as a UPN suffix that's available in my system. So once I've done that, I can actually go ahead and take any of the test users that I'd like to try in users and computers. So I can look at Craig's user here. And under account, I actually have the option of setting up the UPN for his account at contoso2.onmicrosoft.com. So once I've done that and I've enabled Active Directory User Discovery and Configuration Manager, again, I'll also use Craig's account as an example.
The poster child for an information worker.
Yeah, very much so. And if I look at properties inside of his account, you'll see that the UPN is Craig at contosoup2.onmicrosoft.com. And since I've done that, we actually we have a service we have called the Cloud User Sync service, which will actually go up to Windows Intune and match his UPN with the UPN that we've actually created in the Intune account portal. And once we've done that, we actually assign a Cloud User ID to his user, which then enables us to actually target software at his
Do you see the cloud user ID in that, don't we?
You would if we actually had an internet
connection. If we had an internet connection, you would see the cloud user ID as well. So you can verify that it's actually gone up for this particular user, perform that synchronization, perform that mapping between Configuration Manager and Intune, and then those two are connected together.
Right. Absolutely. So should I jump straight into troubleshooting?
Well, you may as well, because we need to troubleshoot.
A very bad thing to actually show in a demo, I'm afraid.
Well, we can share the logs that we haven't been able to connect.
I can show the logs, yes. So once we've actually set up the Intune connector role, there are actually four components that are running on that. So I'm going to open up my logs directory. and I've got DMP uploader, DMP downloader.
Which do exactly what they say.
Exactly.
You open up the Wally log.
Yes, I am still using Notepad, I'm sorry. So, we actually say that there was no endpoint listening at manage.microsoft.com. And I'm pretty sure it was listening, except we can't get out to it. I'm not going to actually start trying to troubleshoot my network access here, but you can see very clearly here that we've actually got a connection error up to the service. The second component that's running there is the DMP downloader. Also a mechanism, what we do is we think of this as your MPF FDM, where we're pulling messages back from the service into Configuration Manager. You'll also see here any errors that have actually occurred on in the service itself. For example, helped me out the other day. I'd actually gone ahead and set up Windows Phone as a platform, but I hadn't uploaded the company portal application up to the service yet. And so my clients were failing to enroll because the package wasn't available to download. I could simply open up the DMP downloader.log and actually notice in here that I was getting errors enrolling on my Windows Phone devices. And the last piece I'll call out here is the Cloud User Sync. Also a service where we're talking up to the service and we're trying to add users. And again, you see, again, we failed to actually talk to the service, which is going to make the rest of it very difficult. But
So
the point is, between those three logs, you actually have all the information you need to be able to troubleshoot. Of course, as with everything else, inside a Configuration Manager, under the monitoring node, we do have our component status and our site status, and you'll notice that Windows Intune is actually, the Windows Intune connector is available in here as well, and we actually have the information available to you here as well. So
I guess we can't troubleshoot enrolling in an RT device.
Well, it's going to be quite difficult, although...
Actually, we can at least show what you need to do in a proof of concept or a test lab as far as enrollment, even though it will fail. And we know it will fail beforehand.
Actually, the good news is, I do have a second account that I can actually use.
Oh, so, redundancy.
If I actually have wireless internet access here. So we'll see here on my Windows RT device.
As you can tell, there's no smoke and mirrors. We're actually doing this live, so you know, internet is important.
I do have a wireless connection, even though my server doesn't actually have one. I can actually go ahead here and, as an end user, search for company applications. Launch the company apps, control panel applet. And I'm going to go ahead and enter my user account here. In this case, actually, I'm going to use my admin account.
Another reason why you might want to use a verified domain is so you don't have to type in that long name.
So once I've entered my email address and password, what you're going to notice here is I will actually fail to automatically discover the Windows Intune service. That's because I'm using an unverified domain account and I haven't set up the CNAME record to do the auto redirection, unless I have for this account. Or actually, it looks like it's going to be the same issue with the network again. But I can actually go ahead here and enter more information. And simply at this point, I can enter manage.microsoft.com.
So this isn't failing because you don't have that verified domain. It's actually failing because you don't have that CNAME record.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So I can enter manage.microsoft.com as the server address. And again, your end users will not have to do this if you've set up that CNAME record that automatically redirects your domain to the enterpriseenrollment.yourdomain.com to manage.microsoft.com. And again, unfortunately, because of the internet access, I can't actually go ahead and enroll the device. But I assure you, it's great when it works. And hopefully the network will come back up again by the time the folks who are demoing this in the next lab.
It's not so bad for our presentation, but for the next two presentations that are coming up today, internet access will be important. So. I lost my clicker. Hang on. All right, so just a recap. So basically we covered what you need to do to set up, you know, your AD environment, and we've kind of done that to death, I think, at this point. And then also what you need to do in the Configuration Manager in Windows Intune environment to allow this connection to happen. So what we've showed today is the plumbing. We have two more sessions on settings management, enrollment, and application management. We do have some documentation. We've given you some URLs as well that you can go to get some more information on here.
We do have a blog entry on this. So,
whoa, I didn't hit that many times.
So
it really wants to get to there.
So we do have a blog entry on this, so please, by all means, go ahead in your lab environment and give this a shot. Give it a try setting up an account and start using some of the features that we've got available to you.
Okay. As you said, we have a drawing for a Surface RT device. So there's some questions. If you go to we are at the booth today at lunchtime, so if you have any questions, you also want to follow up outside of this session here, we'll be available for that as well. And you can come here and actually do that drawing into this competition as well. All right, Q&A.
Yeah. If you can, please come by the microphones. There are two here. And we'll answer questions as we can.
And for those of you that are not going to continue, please thank you very much for attending our session. Please make sure you do attend the other two sessions today. It'll give you a complete view of mobile device management with these two products.
The code signing certificate, you said Symantec a few times. Is that the only certificate provider that – is VeriSign the only certificate provider supported today?
For the Windows Phone 8 platform, yes, that's the only certificate that platform can support today.
Yeah. It's the same as if you were to set up for a Windows Phone developer account. Basically, you can follow through the instructions on there, and the exact same process that you'd use as a Windows Phone developer, you can actually use to set up for an enterprise account.
Can you back up to the slides with the URLs for the blog posts?
Yep. I hope I can. It keeps wanting to flick to that one. I will do that while we take questions. Hang on.
That's the one. Thank you.
Thanks.
The question was, are there any updates in CU1 regarding this feature? As always, I'd have to look through the exact set of fixes that went into CU1. I know there were some appropriate to Windows Intune associated with this feature. But we'd have to look online exactly to see what updates were in.
There wasn't anything significant. There might have been one or two hot fixes, but nothing major.
There was just a note from someone that there were some customers were seeing issues where you couldn't actually launch the Windows Intune connector wizard in SP1, so you may need to get the update for that.
Yeah.
Could you tell me with the directory sync into Azure, does it take all of the information on the user or just the UPN?
It takes a large number of attributes for the user. There is actually a TechNet article for DirSync that actually says exactly all of the objects that it does synchronize. Now, remember, you're synchronizing your on-prem AD environment to the Azure Active Directory environment, not just for Windows Intune, but also for Office 365 potentially. So there's a bunch of information particular to a user around Exchange, for example, that would be potentially synchronized in that environment as well. And there's actually a really good TechNet article that outlines exactly all of the attributes that are synchronized.
Is BlackBerry not a mobile device that can be managed using SCCM?
That is correct. We do not support BlackBerry with this release.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You showed how you add the public domain for managing on Windows Intune, like contoso.com. If on your internal domain you're using a non-public address, so mycompany.corp, do you have to actually update all the user account UPNs to have the public domain in order to match?
So let me repeat the question to make sure I understand. If you're using a non, if your email accounts are actually using a non-public,
like .local, domain type.
Yeah, the email would be the public, obviously, but when the user logs in, their UPN would be, you know, mycompany.local or mycompany.corp.
Yep. Yeah, so if you're using a local UPN for all of your users, you can actually have multiple UPNs, so you can actually set this up as your primary, set up a public one as their primary. They can also still have those other UPNs as attached to the user as well.
And it is possible, although I'm not aware offhand, that there may be an alternative to using the TXT record to set up that association. You may want to reach out to your technical account manager for some other information on it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Gentlemen, if you can tell me, if we're planning like a large-scale deployment of Windows RT devices, is there any options for like pre-provisioning devices?
Pre-provisioning of RT devices, because you've got a large number of them that you're going to deploy. With this release, no, you'd need to actually have on the individual device itself do that enrollment process.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Sorry.
So the question is Exchange the only mail system that is supported? So we don't actually necessarily need to use Exchange. If you are using Exchange, you can also use ActiveSync to actually discover those device records. What we provide here is actually a native mobile device management solution, so you don't need to necessarily use Exchange ActiveSync if you don't have Exchange.
So it looks like that's probably all the questions from the microphone. So we'll probably we'll sign off here, but we'll be available up at the stage if you have any questions. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.